KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Say, I don't even know your name.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cypress Trail Hideout. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, and as the man told you, we are at Texas A&M at the Bright Football Complex right here, and it's beautiful. It is unbelievable how awesome, what the facilities are like here. Kyle Field with its renovation, the indoor facilities right here, and this for the players is second to none. So this is why, well, a big reason why Texas A&M is competing, not only competing, but winning a lot of the time as far as the recruiting wars go. And Jimbo's going to join us here at 7:30. We got a full schedule here on ESPN 97.5, your home for Texas A&M football. Billy Lucci's going to be here along with a host of others. Oh, we're going to talk to Buzz Williams today as well a little bit later in the show. So you, all of you that are big basketball fans or A&M fans, Ross Bjork going to join us at 9 a.m. Jamon Osbon.
Osbon, yeah.
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
Junior
Townsend,
wide receiver.
And Ross Bjork is the new AD.
Ross Bjork's the new AD. Mikado Henson's going to join us. Tim Lomax, Buzz Williams, Billy Lucci right here on ESPN 97.5. So, Lance, how was your drive over here?
Oh, no, I didn't drive over here.
Not the drive from Houston to College Station. The drive from your hotel to the facility.
Yeah, which is how far away?
It's not, I don't know, quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile. So you drove over, and where did you park? Right over here?
No, I just walked.
Why'd you walk?
Why'd you walk over here?
It didn't seem like a thing you like to do. You hurt your feet walking.
Yeah,
places.
Did you? Are you okay?
No,
did you get a stress fracture or anything?
No.
You got your boot on?
Everything was fine.
So you decided from your hotel to walk?
I had to make a decision if I wanted to be on the show on time.
Huh.
What? Why?
So a quarter mile
a
away.
A quarter mile? You can't drive
you
here?
You up for before 6:30.
Well, after waiting 18 minutes down at the – I called down below and like said, can you bring my car forward? Yeah, no problem. Here's a number. Yep, sounds good.
Can you pull around, Jeeves? Pull my car around. Del, where did you stay in the same hotel? Did you valet over there?
No, I paid the $10 to park in the garage, and I walked to and from a couple times because you know I checked in. Then I
did you get a stress fracture walking over?
No, I'm more athletic than the guy we're looking at right now.
Did they lose your car in the parking lot?
Well, it's kind of hard to do that when it's all self serve.
Oh, you,
it would have to be me losing my own car, and I don't do that.
They lost mine.
Huh?
They lost your car.
Somewhere. Yeah.
So that was such a Lance story. Like at 40, at 45.
I know
45,
you're going to say. And I'm like, God dang it. I swear to God, I was thinking, I don't even want to tell John this.
At 45, well, it falls over.
And really, honestly, I didn't want to. When I say I don't want to tell John, it's, I don't want to tell John and Dell.
Well, let's be clear. It wasn't just that he lost his car.
Even if didn't lose my car.
They lost. Excuse me. They lost your car because
I know where
because
my
of
car
your
was
elitist attitude. You had to get to LA.
Right. I just wanted to get out.
He also
I didn't know where the self park was.
He also was struggling to get here.
Yeah. Right. Hey, where is okay? Where
I knew where
it
was.
Place?
You kept saying, take a right at Kyle Field. I'm like, this is not right. I mean, it's on my left. Oh. Am I supposed to walk into the street?
Well, Dell said take a left out and have Kyle Field on your right, but you didn't do that. You went obviously,
you went
right
way,
and then left.
Yeah.
I don't know. I knew where I was going. I knew where Kyle Field. I wanted to make sure.
Oh, you knew where one of the largest stadiums in the history of the world was?
I've been here every week. Every year I come. I could drive up here and watch tape up here. So I was pretty sure where I was. I just knew I'd have to walk it to get to the show on time because they can't find my car. But luckily, right before I got in here, I got a call like, we've got your car. Like, great.
Super.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
That's a call you shouldn't have to make.
I'm already there. Yeah. But thank you.
Do you think, well, you drive a truck, and normally when people talk about cars for joyrides, trucks aren't mentioned, but we're in College Station, so a nice truck is a big deal. Do you think they took your truck for a joyride?
It is a nice truck.
There is a
chance. It is a nice truck.
And they're like, this is nice. We'll get it back in time.
It is a nice truck.
They went Ferris Bueller on them?
I think they probably just parked in a different spot than whatever my,
all I know,
where they put the key. But
I'm just saying, when you
I don't know. It seems like the horn honking thing works.
That might have helped.
You know,
when you open that door.
That seems like a fail-safe.
Check for the smell of something.
Okay.
Weed. Smell weed.
Or chicken strips or yeah, anything.
Or Lane's chicken strips, whatever it might be.
Whatever yeah. the case may be. Now, have you guys ever I'm not the only one who's gotten lost in the airport parking before, I'm sure.
I mean, lost?
You know what I do? You take a picture of where
I know,
you
but
are.
I've still...
Did you delete it, or are you still?
No, one time I took it real hurried and it was blurry.
What?
Like that did me no good. I didn't realize until I went back. Like I can't even read this. But sometimes C and E, they're like, there's parking. Is you got to walk? You can get fooled by the parking. So
So you lost your car there.
And then one time I didn't take a picture and I was like, oh my god, it took me an hour. I'm pushing a button, walking through the whole airport. I mean, just the
That's
only,
easy enough.
It's just this kind of – I told my wife. I went and saw Dr. Muntz, my doctor, yesterday. And I said, hey, let me ask you a question. I said, while I'm here, my memory isn't so good. He goes, oh, was your wife having – is she starting to notice? I'm like, no, I mean, no, not like that. Are you having trouble remembering where your car is? Like, no, not like you see in the movies. Like, I just – forget stuff around. He goes, no, that's just being dim-witted.
Blind.
He basically said, no, that's just being, no, that's just who you are. Like, well, he goes, give me an example. Well, one time I left my no, I knew what I was doing there. I left my phone in a cab in Cuba. He goes, so you just are forgetful? That's not a memory loss. That's not just, paying attention.
Right.
That's a general lack of focus.
That's a focus.
That's what it is.
Issue.
It's a general lack of focus. That's right. Not something medically.
Right.
You're
right.
Just. He wanted to say you're just dumb. You're just dim-witted is what he wanted to say, but he didn't say it.
So
he's a good doctor.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
How did you feel when Carlos Correa went out of the baseball game again?
Not great.
Is there a chance that dude now has another stint? And
well, sore like, back.
So what the heck fire do you do with this guy in the offseason? This is going to be another year of arbitration.
This is why. No matter how Carlos is playing, make no mistake, he's been playing
great
since he came back. I mean, this is the superstar. Honestly, this feels like the superstar we've been waiting for. But we've got it in such a small dose before he gets potentially injured again. We'll wait and see, but the back is not – I mean, that's never – it was back, yeah.
Is this almost a – wait a minute. Is this – okay, I hate to say it, but is this almost a good thing? He takes a couple of weeks off. He's got about 3 weeks to get ready for the playoffs. And he's rested and maybe that'll be the last time he's injured.
No, I don't think there's anything good about one of your best players continuing to have that because in the short term you can try to make up some kind of timeline where he actually is healthy, but the bottom line is he just can't stay healthy. And this is just such a problem for Carlos Correa that I mean he can stay healthy for stretches, but in the long term, I don't know what you can do with Carlos Correa long term. Now you just hope that. It doesn't slow him down. It doesn't pop up again in the postseason. We're sitting here worried enough about the bullpen, and now you got a guy that you just like, oh, wow, Carlos is bad. You know, Ledmus Diaz, when is that guy not hurt also?
So, I know, right?
I mean.
Again, Jack Mayfield is playing shortstop. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. Kiki Correa, I think, is got to be it is getting to an epidemic type thing. And here's the deal, is you keep talking about the core of this baseball team, but it's going to be hard for them. Listen, he's been the odd man out. They paid Altuve. They're paying Springer $12 a year in arbitration years. They're paying Bregman when he doesn't even have to be paid. And he's coming up with another MVP season, and Carlos Correa sitting out there making $5 million, which is, you know, good money for all of us, but relatively speaking, baseball-wise, and as far as a number one overall pick, I mean, this is the guy that should be a $100 million guy already, but you can't trust him. And so and they've got a couple more arbitration years, and they're probably just and they're going to probably save money on them because they go to arbitration and say, well, we can't count on them all year. And an arbitrator's going to go, yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, you can't. There's no reason to give him the big money when you know he can't stay on the field.
Right. That's the problem is it's a long term. There's a long term question to be asked that you know, is kind of a subplot here, because in the near future, you're just worried about making sure you're starting shortstop with defensive range and a big arm and a powerful bat who's become an important component in the run that you had been making. You want to make sure he's healthy, but in the grand scheme of things, it's just yet another. Maybe we're overacting a little bit because we haven't, you know, gotten all the details. We haven't seen how long he'll be out, but you get pulled for back discomfort. I mean, back issues are never a good thing long term, and so we'll see what happens.
He's had the back before, so
we'll see what happens. It's just I have so much fatigue over injuries. You had Arian Foster with his groin. You had
Yao.
You had Yao. You had Tracy.
Yeah.
McGrady.
Chris
that,
Paul.
That couldn't get off the. Yeah, you had Chris Paul.
Jadavian.
JD. I mean, early in his career, of course. Yeah. And Watt had the injury. You had. Who else were we? Oh, we're missing another really big one, I think. Well, Lance McCullers every year is out. It's just maybe it's not any different than anyone else, but it seems like it's big players, big star players.
Well, the Yankees are going, whatever.
Yeah, the Yankees have had a ton just this year. But, you know, the Rockets have had that issue for a long time where star players just can't stay healthy.
But James has.
James has been a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
You know, James has really been good about being able to just saddle up and go, and you can put a bunch of minutes on him, innings on Verlander. Verlander's been a rock in the short time that he's been here.
You know, it's funny, though. I was sitting with a coach at an Astros game, and he was like, Carlos Correa doesn't have an athlete's body. He's not thick. He's a lot
in
thinner than I
body,
yeah, lower yeah. body. He doesn't have that big butt, you know, and thick legs.
He's got a rangy – is it any different than he's – I feel like he's taller than Jeter. He's definitely taller than Jeter.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the deal is.
And A-Rod was thicker, but for good reason, yeah. pharmaceutically.
Well, yeah. But those specialists – by the way, you watched Screwball, didn't you, Dell?
Yeah.
Man, what an unbelievable documentary that was about what a bunch – there was just this slap nuts group of two to three guys who are controlling – a growing element. I don't want to overshadow because there's only like five or six players, I guess.
Oh, no.
In pros, but they had a ton of college.
There were a lot more on that list.
Oh, yeah.
They're college, high school, pros, just the famous guys.
The pro guys, there were more than Melky and A-Rod. Yeah. Because I thought it was six or seven.
No.
The pro guys.
I got the impression that there was a ton of college, high school.
The Melky, the A-Rod, the Manny were the big names, but I think they just had a list of guys.
I mean, if you watch this doc, and it's well done by Billy Corbin, but it's called Screwball. It's on Netflix. It really will show you how just a
One of the guys that A-Rod turned in was his Yankee catcher teammate that was a nobody.
Yeah, to kind of distract from
himself. That's what a scumbag
he was.
It was
unbelievable, this doc.
All right, we're just getting it started. Jimbo's going to join us here in about 17 minutes on ESPN 97.5, live from the Bright Complex here at Texas A&M. This is a hell of a workplace, Lance, but there are other places to work.
Well, like work suites. And if you got this place to work in, congratulations. You know what? It's funny because a lot of people in the oil and gas business over the last 5 years, 6 years, have started to downsize. They don't have the same business. There have been layoffs. They don't need the same space. And a lot of them have gone to work suites because they can still get the office amenities they need, the UPS, the FedEx, the receptionist, the IT department, and that's all included in the package. They can even do the they can do the office furniture for you as well, or not. It's your choice. You can pick a package that's just right for you, and they've got 2 to 24 people that they can or 2 to 20 people that they can take care of from in terms of office spaces. So they do have some larger spaces to take care of larger groups of people if you're looking to do that. But you can save money going from renting downtown to working at work suites. Work suites goes all the way down to just the average person who says, well, you know what, instead of going to my coffee shop 3 times a week, how about I get my own shared workspace that I can come in, I can get all those same great amenities, but at a fraction of the cost, you can have a shared workspace that you can go into whenever you need it. Or maybe you're like someone like me who you need your own office, but you really don't want to pay a ton for it. And so you go in and you get your own office, whether it's a micro office or a one that's got a little bit more size. It gives you all the amenities I spoke about, the ability to have your own office and work without the hassle. That's a really big deal. And they've got it for much cheaper at WorkSuites. Five locations in and around the Houston area. So whether you just don't want to make that long drive into Houston and eliminate that drive, or maybe you are looking as a startup company, or maybe you're looking to downsize, WorkSuites has a solution for you. Go to WorkSuites.com. That's WorkSuites.com. Mention ESPN 97.5, and they're going to give you 2 months free, 2 months absolutely free when you mention ESPN 97.5. That's WorkSuites.com.
Hey, John and Lance here. Man, I cannot be more excited. All the BS is over, and Prime Social is going to open back up. The only thing that they did was to make the other – listen, Prime Social was the premier place in the city of Houston. They went after the biggest and the best. They didn't work out, so now they're going to open back up, and they're going to be the biggest and the best again with all of those tables, with the great dealers, with the great leadership from these guys. They're unbelievable. They know how to do it. They make it like it's like a Vegas casino. It's professional. It's got games all the time. It's going to pick right up where it left off, Lance.
Yeah, and that's what I can't wait, because now you're going to get those cash games, those tournaments, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. This is a company that led Houston in terms of the brand new poker scene, and they're right back at it again after all this nonsense has been over. The same great people there at Prime waiting to give you that same great experience. And so why don't you make sure and you go to go out to Westheimer and check it out for yourself near Fondren. They're not open until early
Voss.
Yes, in Voss, right until September. Early September is when they're going to be. So you'll hear us on the grand opening.
Yep.
We'll be there at the grand opening on Thursday, and then we'll probably be playing in that tournament that Friday, yep. I would imagine, yep. Because I'm looking forward to it again. It's been a long, dry summer, and now we've got our chance to jump back in, and so do you with Prime Social. Make sure that you keep your ears peeled right here, and we will be there live for the reopening of Prime Social.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cypress Trail Hideout. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I'm going to stop at Cypress Trail Hideout on the way back and pick up a nice barbecue sandwich. Papa Charlie's is there.
Ah, man, are they? They're great. I played with Pat. I played at our golf tournament. I played golf with Pat McGinnity, who's the owner, one of the owners of Papa Charlie's. First of all, that guy is a great guy. And then number two, he had some great stories from his time in New Orleans. It was fantastic talking to him. But more importantly, how about the guy that I rode with brought – pork belly. He just brought chopped pork belly on the golf cart. It was a little hot for hot pork belly.
Yeah.
And yet it didn't stop me.
No. So awesome. Also, it's right there on 290 Reddit Fry Road over there, that exit, that Cypress.
He's like, come on Barker, by when, Cypress, when you're coming back Road. In yeah, town. Yeah. I'm like, well, looks like I don't have to worry about lunch.
No, that's going to be awesome.
I could be walking. Stopping that's going to be a long walk for me.
For a brisket sandwich on the way back. So yeah, come meet us over there. We'll be there around a little after noon.
Hey, let me ask you, you guys watch, John, I know I put you on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is fantastic.
Is it back on again?
Not yet, but it's coming back. Dell, you haven't watched it? Oh, yeah, Dell's watched it too.
Love it. It's great.
I told my wife one time all the shows Dell watched. She goes, "He watched that? He watched that? Yeah." Dell's a little fancy pants. Don't let him get you confused.
I'm a connoisseur. I'm cultured when it comes to TV. I can just sit there and watch stuff. I don't have the drain. What you should have said is he thinks a wife is a drain. That, he doesn't have that in his life, so he can watch all that stuff. If you want to get her, if you don't want her to be on my side, you should tell her things I say about marriage.
And she thinks her husband's a drain. That's why we watch in different. We've officially become that. Like, I'll see you in about 3 hours. You go watch your 90210's reunion show or whatever it is, and your 100 million castles that you've already seen over and over. She watches the same three shows in perpetuity. Just. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, look what it is again. It's Castle. Oh, it's SVU. Oh, it's the same exact show. Oh, it's 90210 again. It's the same General Hospital, which is the one. I'm watching all these cool shows, and she's like, oh, I heard that's a really good show. Yeah, you should watch it. So anyway, she did watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, at least for year one. And it's a really good show, and they had the other day in L.A., they had a Maisel Day in Los Angeles.
Really?
And what Maisel Day, I thought it meant it was coming back that day, so I checked and it wasn't out. What they did is they had prices from the 1959 at different places around L.A. Let's see, you could get a $2.50 makeover, a 99-cent pastrami sandwich.
What?
$30 or 30 cents a gallon for gas.
Where is this?
Yeah, and it costs such a ruckus that the police had to intervene because it was jamming up entire areas of Los Angeles. So here's the $2 for Mrs. Maisel inspired look at Dry Bar. They had an
what is
hour.
That? That's an Amazon show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazon probably told them, we'll make up the difference on every sandwich you sell, every gallon of gas.
Absolutely.
What a great promotion.
The gallon of gas one's pretty interesting. They had $2.50 makeover. The 30 cent. Okay, so by this time, Variety intern Anna has joined me. Somebody from Variety is trying to get the gallon of gas thing. You can get 30 cents per gallon up to 20 gallons of gas at Chevron in Santa Monica, okay, which is where you stayed mm-hmm. and where I stayed whenever I went there. And the station's location right off the exit of Major Freeway made it possibly one of the worst places on that side of town to hold a promotion. So people were trying to exit in. And so the lines, it was like you couldn't exit. You couldn't exit at that
worst.
Exit. Yeah, so that was one of them. The 30-cent malted milkshakes at Cafe 50s. A 99-cent pastrami sandwich took you 25 minutes to get. Hot dogs, 59-cent hot dogs at Pink. 50-cent croissant. $1 tickets at Hollywood Improv. And then $40 for a one-night stay at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. So those were a $2 manicures, don't care. But they tried doing that. But the 30 cent, imagine this, 30 cents a gallon for gas. I saw a picture of somebody who filled up, and they filled up like whatever it was. They had filled up 16 gallons of gas for the 30 cents a gallon.
Oh, my God.
Whatever it was. So that's $4.80.
Yeah. I wouldn't wait. Were you going to wait in that line?
No.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
No, if you were one of the first ones there and knew about it, I had not heard anything.
What is this
about
list
that.
By Art? Houston injured list. Correa, McCullers, T-Mac, Yao, CP3, Clowney, Fuller, Zerline, Mika, Knight. When did
Zerline?
Zerline.
That's what do you mean?
That's you.
I played through it. I had a foot. I had a foot. Big deal. And I put a walking boot in.
You played through it.
Yeah. Didn't you miss like a month?
With a foot? No.
Yeah.
I put my boot on and I just kept rolling.
Weren't you on one of those little carts where you roll around?
Knee scooter. I refused it. They said, would you like a knee scooter? I said, absolutely not. I would not like a knee scooter.
You should have had the knee scooter.
Yeah.
No, I should.
What would Ballard have told you with your knee scooter?
Oh, he already took a picture of me getting out with a boot. I get out of the car. Just got back from the hospital or the emergency. I get out of the car, and I look, and he's like, oh, my God. And he's got his phone up, and he's taking pictures of me immediately.
All right, the coaches are coming in, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jimbo Fisher is going to join us right here on ESPN 97.5.
Let me tell you about let me hit you with Texas Custom Patio. So Stephen Schell, who I talk about, the owner of Texas Custom Patios. He's a longtime listener, big sports talk fan. We talk sports whenever I talk to him. But one of the things he says about the people from the radio station who inquire and who have had patios built is it's very important that the television and the setup for how they watch their television and hear their television is something that is of prime importance. And that's already been important to Steven. So he's got a great AV guy that comes in, will consult with you. You can get the different types of TVs you want, the smart TVs. I had a big 70-inch smart TV set up, hooked it up to my satellite company, got the, you know, the, so I, when I go out there and watch sports, I also want that great sound system, and they have it. That it's a big tuner, a big receiver that handles everything for me. And he, you know, I've got my remote, and the AV guy shows you everything you need to know about that. And so when I'm out there, I get unbelievable sound, unbelievable picture quality. It's just a great experience. And that's, you know, I don't do the whole man cave thing, but if I had one, it's really my patio. And that's an important place for me to just go and kind of get away, have a drink. Sometime I'll set up my my video system, and I'll watch some of the plays that I'm writing, the players I'm writing up for the NFL draft. And that's just my spot that I like to go out. Sometimes it's a kid spot, and we send them outside. They have their pizza and hot dogs and hamburgers and watch something on television. But it's also great, and I didn't even mention having a place to go entertain with people from around the neighborhood. So, you know, whatever it is that you want your outdoor living space for, they'll make it perfect for you at Texas Custom Patios. The experience from the beginning to the end is unbelievable, and it's very reasonably priced. So make sure that you are looking at contacting the best in the state of Texas. No one touches him. Go to their website. You'll see the before and after work at TexasCustomPatios.com, or go look at my outdoor living space at TCPLance.com.
Sell us your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're looking for a great place to sell your car. It will literally take you about 45 seconds. I'm not even joking. About 45 seconds, and they'll have a quote for you. You put in, you know, the VIN number. You could put even the license plate. They've got the technology now that they can see with the license plate. You maybe send them a picture of the car, see what kind of condition it is in, and they're going to give you a quote for it. And then you say, well, that's not enough. Well, what does it take? I hear them all the time on a Saturday show. Well, what is it going to take? What's it going to take for me to buy that car from you? And he buys, he had one day where he bought 600 cars. Are you kidding me? 600 cars in a day. He's got so many people. So it's such a great way to go about this thing. He doesn't care. He's paying more than the other guys. If he can't beat CarMax, he's going to send you $100. That's right. If he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to send you $100 right now at GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're going to sell your car, there's only one place. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cypress Trail Hideout. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 live from the Bright Complex here at College Station, Texas A&M. What a beautiful facility. If you haven't been here, you need to tour it. You need to see. Well, you got to get somebody to have you tour it.
Yeah, I don't know if you can just walk
no,
the place.
I don't think you could just walk into the locker room whenever you want.
No, oh, that would be a little weird.
Yeah, that no, that's really strange. Please don't do that.
Out of all the campuses I've been on, I've been out to a couple. I've been to Austin, but not the football facility. I've been to the U of H to cover different events. Obviously, I've been to A&M for a second time. And you just walk in this place, it's a cathedral to A&M football. Yeah. It's what it is, and rightfully so. My cousins in Florida, we kind of, when I didn't grow up with them, but we bonded over college football when we go back. However it happened, a couple cousins were Florida State fans, a couple cousins were Florida fans, and me and another cousin were Miami fans. I just sent them pictures of this place because it's ridiculous.
It is crazy,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a special, special place. There's no question about that. And it's going to translate. I mean, you bring in Jimbo, and you pay that man his money. You have the facilities which can compete with anyone anywhere in college football, and it is going to translate. Now they're ranked 12th.
Yeah,
they're ranked 12th, and there's four conference teams ahead of them.
And then you throw Clemson in the mix as well as the teams.
That's a team that they're going. Yeah,
yeah. So they have Auburn's on the schedule. Because in the West, Alabama clearly, LSU clearly. You throw Georgia in the mix. You throw they're not on the schedule, are they? They don't play Georgia. Do they play Georgia this year too?
Oh, they played Georgia last year, didn't they?
No, I have.
Well,
to
then
look.
They play them this year.
And then clearly the big game. It's not the opener, but it's the game everyone's going to be pointing to is the Clemson game. So A&M could be. They had a nice end of the year last year. They could be even better this year, and if they don't catch some, I don't want to say catch some breaks, but they have that schedule is tough. So,
dude, they got Georgia too.
They have Georgia too. So depending on how those games go, you could look at a team that's better than it was last year, and you look at the schedule and go, what happened to A&M? They're 12th in the country to start the year. Well, look at their schedule. Those things kind of happen.
Yeah, Texas State to start out. New coach, we'll ask him about that with Jake Spavital over there. And, you know, obviously they're at a disadvantage. But then you've got Clemson in week two. Do you like getting Clemson right away as opposed to as they build up as opposed to those?
You know, I said this last year. I thought it was a good idea. And,
they played them well.
You played them pretty well. Yeah. I think it's always – I think the best teams, you either want to catch them at the very end where they maybe start to let up or the very beginning. I don't think you want to catch them by week three and beyond. So, yeah, I'm just one of those people that thinks either you can match up with a team or you can't. And I think A&M has some areas where they – you know what's going to be interesting to me is Texas A&M has – some return, and they got three or four returning starters on the offensive line, and Clemson lost the entire defensive line. Their entire defensive line got drafted. So now it's going to be pretty interesting to see how A&M runs it this year, how successful they might be running the football against a little bit of an inexperienced defensive line for Clemson. So I think that's, you know, they lost two linebackers and four defensive linemen, Clemson did. That's They have a really good linebacker coming back. They've got some talent. They have talent. I know that. They still have talent.
Do they have number one recruiting class?
But do they have first? I don't know if they have. I've gone through the recruiting just because of this issue or what appears to be an issue. I don't think they have the interior players that match what they lost.
No.
I get the rebuild, reload. They are ridiculous on the outside. And even their rushers, like Xavier Thomas, I think is his name, their ends are going to be fine.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about the
up
the middle, though. Not yet.
Up the middle with Dexter Lawrence, and they had Huggins, and and Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, they even lost depth from
that
position.
Huggins, too, yeah.
So and Huggins was a guy that was never even mentioned.
Huggins was drafted. That's five D-linemen they got drafted. They had five D-linemen drafted. That's just – they basically built Alabama is what they built. It's the same kind of concept. But that's why I think A&M has a chance to – really run the ball and kind of change things. Playing in Clemson is going to be, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. But you find out a lot about your team with that at A&M. It's just, I really, you know, talking about Clemson, they just, what Dabo has done there. See, I think Dabo and Jimbo kind of remind me of each other, only Jimbo is more old school, you know, you're hard practicing. This is the way you get it done, and I know the path and what it looks like, and we're going to stay on the path. And Dabo's got some of that too, but then Dabo is really he does find a way to kind of infuse some of the new school stuff. Like he's not just like if you had to classify him between Dabo and Saban, Jimbo's more towards Saban. He coached with Saban too, so he's got, you know, he's seen it work with Nick Saban in that direction. He's got some of that. Hey, let's stay disciplined with our approach, and not that Dabo doesn't.
So they're not building a slide here?
No, like with Dabo.
There's no slide here?
No, Dabo is, you know, I think when you have some success, part of you I think maybe is for some guys like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's always been the easygoing guy, but Dabo's got some of that. He's got a nice blend of intense and easygoing.
Look, Dabo was in the title game and just blew out Alabama. He goes, I know we're little old Clemson. I know we're not supposed to be here. Dabo, that's enough. No one's buying that. No one's buying that anymore. That
little
you're
old
just
Clemson.
No one's calling you that anymore. I guess maybe someone took a shot at you before the title game.
Yeah, but you've been in three national championship games.
Yeah, the first one or the second one,
years.
Someone was like, you can't win. And sure, there was a lot of talk about Alabama taking out Clemson. Maybe the best team ever in Alabama.
Well,
no one's playing. No one's buying that Clemson stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah.
They played Alabama. They beat Alabama 2 out of 4 years in the playoffs.
And two of their last three matches.
And not just beat them.
Well, they smoked them.
Smoked them.
You know, Colin Cowherd said something. Colin Cowherd said something. I'll make it real quick about – you want to break it right here?
Or you want to?
Oh, no.
Let's
we got to get him right
Let's
in.
Let's power through here. Yeah. Want to remind you, Papa Charlie's is powering our trip here to College Station, and we're talking Texas A&M. And that's the home of some great barbecue right up there off Cypress. And joining us right now is the head coach at Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. And we're here bright and early, and that's the way coaches have to do it. Bright and early, you get up and you go. Coach, I want to ask you real quick about your balance in terms of I remember my dad would you started about 6-something, you ended about 10-something. Mm-hmm. And you just do that for, you know, 4 days a week, and then Saturday's its own day, and then Sunday is a day that still involves some Saturday stuff because you're watching tape, and Friday is your travel day, whatever the case may be. Are you able to balance – I'm just curious about, do you get any rest at all? Are you able to take care of yourself at all? Because it's a, I don't think people realize how stressful thing this can be.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are generally about, those four probably 16-hour days.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Thursday is 12 to 14.
But you can't count the hours. You just got to get
done with it. Exactly. It is what it is. And I just take a break in the middle of all the day. I work out for an hour.
Yep.
Every day at noon, and actually it clears my head sometimes, gives me some of my best thoughts.
What are you watching on Netflix right now, Coach?
No, I watch on Netflix. I try to catch all tape is Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Hey, everybody's on. I got to get on it. Everybody's on it. Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. So you have the leading rusher in the conference, seems like every year, or three of the last 4 years, or whatever. Can Jay Sean beat that guy this year?
Well, I mean, that depends on the guys around him, too. I mean, you remember, when you're talking about running the football, you're talking about the offensive line, of course. You're talking about tight ends. You're talking about receivers. And right. You have to talk about a guy who there's going to be unblocked guys.
Yep.
Can that guy
create?
Make a 2-yard run, make it a 5-yard run? Can he make somebody miss? Can he do that? And, yes, and I think the versatility of him to be in, and also the versatility to be an inside runner or an outside runner. You can't just be one type of runner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I think people really don't appreciate the truly great runners of the game, in that, and they see all the flash and the big plays, but how many 2-yard runs or 4-yard runs or 5-yard runs, and they are able to add or, as I say, get skinny or power or whatever for those two. When you're one of those rushers, and I think he has that ability, and I think we have some other good young runners too.
It's funny you say that, because last year Travion, we sat right here, and Travion said you had asked him to get bigger, and he got bigger. He loved all the inside and outside zone stuff. He loved the ability not to work all offset, and he liked the vision from being, you know, behind the quarterback and that pistol stuff, or under center. And it turned out, inside, outside zone, you had both. And then he was not just a physical runner inside. You talk about making people miss. He was, I think, the best in the conference at missed tackles and broken tackles. The best in the conference.
He really was. And I think that's visioning and seeing angles and being able to, as I say, they say, boy, is he fast. Well, it's not is he fast. Can he accelerate and decelerate?
Yeah.
I mean, can he tempo things? Can he set guys up? And it's like running routes. Sometimes the fastest receivers don't run the best routes.
Mm-mm.
And you got to be able to create leverage and see those points. And I think he had just a natural feel when to accelerate, when to, you know, to get in power positions to, I can't make a guy miss. I got to get powerful here, or I got to get skinny.
Yeah, those same speed runners, linebackers know where to look you up. If you're on the same schedule all the time, they know when that train gets in, and they're going to meet you at the same stop.
And you know this, how a block sets up, especially when you get in your gap plays and your pullers, and you see how it's going to develop. Do I need to be out front? I got to be on that back hip, and then is it a cutback? Is it a bounce? Is it acceleration? And I think your vision, I think that makes – you know, those are things that you coach to a point, but if you're having to tell him how to do it, you're coaching the wrong dude.
Jimbo Fisher's with us here at the Bright Complex here at Texas A&M. We're boys with Jake Spavital. He's been a good friend for a long time. It's got to be awfully difficult for you, just for your guys, to stay focused on Texas State with all the Clemson talk, because, you know, and the SEC and all of that stuff going on. But you guys, Texas State's first.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it's not. I think that cliche, and I don't know why, I think it's gotten – I don't know if it's our guys are more focused about it, because – you got to learn to play well before you get to where you're going to play, and you can't look past people, and you got to understand who you are. And I think from that standpoint, our guys are focused on Texas. Today will be one of our first practices on them. We're going to really start honing in on them today, because we just did our last scrimmage, and yesterday was a walkthrough and corrections from the scrimmage, and, you know, you make your adjustments and also make your decisions on who's, you know, who's out there. And, you know, from that standpoint, I think our guys are ready to play. I was one of the things I was proud of last year. We didn't look past anybody. We really didn't. You know, whether we played well or not, I thought our guys did that. So hopefully we'll continue to
do
that.
How do you know? So are you going by previous Jake Spavital offenses to get ready?
Oh, yeah. You got to look at his offenses, their defenses, and also evaluate their personnel. I mean, that's the thing about when you do have new people, because people at the end of the day are still going to coach what they know. But then you got to do another thing. You got to evaluate their personnel on a film of things that they're probably not going to do what they're doing on film. So, you know, it becomes, let's say, those openers in the beginning when there's new staffs and new people become a pain sometimes.
You know, I know a lot of people, myself, I was surprised just from the outside looking in that that Kellen Mond won the job over Nick Starkel. Everyone thought, oh, he's going with the pocket pack. Everyone had their idea of what a Jimbo Fisher quarterback was. And then you had a quarterback who really at times really flashed last year. And I talked to some evaluators who said, boy, just watching Kellen Mond become a better quarterback, just not a better passer, or better, just a better quarterback and all that entails was really impressive. Can you talk about the decision to go with the guy who was maybe fell outside of the realm of what people are used to seeing with you because he does have the ability to get out? Or is that something that has been overdone? Because E.J. Manuel could get out of the pocket and move.
E.J. Manuel could run. Christian Ponder could run.
Yeah.
Jameis was athletic. He made decisions in the pocket. I'm a believer. Whoever moves the team. See, here, and what kind of team do you have? Who are the guys around you? What are the pieces there? What are the pieces that the quarterback has to do to feature the guys? Everybody says, what does the quarterback have to feature? But how does the quarterback feature the guys around him?
Right.
I mean, there's a that goes backwards, too, to how people look at things. And what does the team respond to? And at the end of the day, what's the quarterback's job? Move the ball down the field, score points, take care of the ball, make the guys, as I say, go through hell for him. Where the guys love him and go through hell for him.
Do you feel like the quarterback has to be where the leadership comes from on offense, or is that overdone?
I think it can be, but I think there's a lot of other positions it can be. I mean, you know, offensive linemen have always – there's a lot of – any great team I've ever been on, there's always one or two of those guys that don't always – you don't always hear in the press that are tremendous leaders within a group.
Yeah, that now it's a younger group. You have it now.
Yeah, it is, but it's a guy – all those guys have started. You're talking about a lot of experience now. I think we have that good. I think sometimes there's usually one receiver who can keep that room in check because, as you say, there's sometimes at receiver position there's a lot of personalities. I mean, it's just – and you look at the NFL, look at everywhere else. There's always that guy can do that. That back. But, I mean, it really does matter when that guy touches the ball. When he is that guy, though, it really changes things because he's touching the ball every play, right. And people have that respect.
A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. You helped change college football rules with the LSU game and the overtime rule and everything else. Was there a point you were like, okay, this is enough?
It was fun to watch.
It was.
You know something?
It was draining.
It may be afterwards, but at the time you were so embraced and engulfed in what do you got to do to be successful.
Right.
So almost you didn't realize it was doing it. It wasn't like, come on. It was just, okay, this is the next thing. This is the next thing. This is because you were so involved in it that there wasn't a way you was getting out of it anyway. So you never really – I don't think the people playing the game and us coaching the game, at least I didn't realize it became as epic as it did until it was all over with.
Mm-hmm. Now, what a way to finish up a season. How did that carry over, beating North Carolina State the way you did, LSU, that win? How did that carry over to the offseason?
I think a lot of the things in which we have been preaching about why we practice hard, why we practice tough, why we practice physical, why we work situational football. I mean, why you're so honed in on how we work third down, how much red zone we're in, how much goal line, and how technical, and how many different things you have to do. Can't we just do one or two things? Well, because you get in those situations. I think it to the kids, I think it was one of those moments where I understand why we do what we do now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to win. You don't win that game. Everybody wanted to win that game. We were fortunate enough that we had trained and we had believed in it, and it carried over. And I think it was a great point for our kids to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And a confidence builder.
What are you proudest of your first year?
I think the way we competed, I mean, at least the way we embraced competition, the physicality of which we played with, the toughness, and that, you know, that when you get on the field, we're going to compete our tails off, and we're going to be there physically on both sides of the ball and to try and, you know, as I say, when you watch us play, you know at least you're proud of the competition and how hard we play and the way we compete in games. I'm saying if you don't ever establish that, I think it's hard to ever –
That's a culture, isn't it?
It is. It's a complete cultural thing. And if you don't have – culture is the number one thing of an organization. Everybody talks about wins and losses in the beginning. These first couple years, the culture of how you play, to me, is much more important than the wins and losses. Now, we got to have them. I know that, to justify and verify and make everybody happy. But at the end of the day, how you play – and the temperament and knowing what kind of team you got and how they compete, I think, is the most important thing.
The buy-in is just so important.
It is.
It was funny. We're sitting here, and you hadn't coached a game yet at Texas A&M. They hadn't played a game under you. And yet Kingsley Keke sat right here, and he had leaned down and to prepare himself for a different position. That ultimately ended up promoting him into the NFL because I think he's a very unique player, can play end or slide inside, five technique. The nose, I'm forgetting the nose.
Daylon Mack.
Daylon Mack. Let me tell you,
wow.
That guy was a different guy under you. And I don't, and I asked, it's funny because I was sitting right next to him and scouts were talking to him at the East-West Shrine game. And they said, why were you, because his tape hasn't been good the last couple of years, but it was good as a freshman. And then this year was fantastic. I was thinking, I'm just going to see this guy who's a bust. And it was really good. And I remember talking to you about it, Coach. And he said, Coach Fisher's staff put me in position to do what I do best, as opposed to this read-react stuff. He goes, he let me play, and his staff put me in position, and I just wanted to do what they asked me to do. But, I mean, can you talk about his transformation? Because I know you must have known what you're getting into, and he was a different dude last year.
He was. I mean, in the beginning of workouts, he was out of shape, out of condition. But and to his credit, he bought into what we did. But like I said, I remember us having these conversations. I kept telling you, you know, we were talking off there, and I said, guys, I'm telling you, the guy who's playing the most consistent, he doesn't always get the headlines because of how he was taking on blocks, how he was taking on double teams, how we were number two in the country against the run, how he understood how to leverage points and how not to get moved. And we found out what he did it well, and told him, you're going to make a career out of this. There's not guys built like you that can play leverage points that can still be explosive. And he had internal pass rush ability because he could create leverage and burst to, you know, as right now, as you know, in the NFL, the inside rush is bigger than the outside rush almost now right now.
It's the get off.
It is. And they push those because quarterbacks are getting shorter. So people are trying to, push that pocket into their lap. And he had that ability. And all of a sudden he started having success with it. And he became a rock in the middle for us. I mean, he really and that allowed us to take Kingsley and those guys and move them around because you knew you had that one guy in there that was going to demand a double team.
But you didn't know it when we talked to you last year.
No, we didn't. We didn't. But, you know, his we just kept grinding on his conditioning first. And first of all, we said, listen, you lift all these weights till you can run, make play. I mean, you can go through our workouts and our off-season workouts and the running. You're not going to do it. So we focused solely on his conditioning first. Got his weight down, got his body fat down, got him into where he could function. And then all of a sudden, he started having fun. I said, football's no fun when you're out of shape. Nothing's fun when you're out of shape. And then we bought him into that. And once he got to that point, then he started, then he started going on.
Jimbo Fisher, we'll let you. We know you got to.
Right.
Before you go, we just went over your schedule.
My staff will be happy if you got me down.
we just went over your schedule, and we're like, holy crap! Do you look at it and go, holy crap?
I think it's a great opportunity, and I know people say, well, you're supposed to say that. Well, I know I am, but if you want to be relevant, and you want to do things. You got to do things that people don't expect you to do. You got to be relevant in big games. I mean, just like the games last year with LSU and all the different games in which we did, we became relevant because of what we did in those games, and I think. We say at the same opportunity, I think we have a very good football team. I think we're not as old. I say we're experienced. I wouldn't say experienced, but we have a lot of guys that played a lot of football and got some really good young players. So you got a great opportunity, and you, like I say, laying the foundation in this second year, you're going to find out where you're at.
You came out 12th yesterday in the AP poll, and yet
haven't seen practice.
And yet you got four conference teams ahead of you.
Yeah.
Nobody's got that. When you're 12th, you should be, I don't know, first or second in your conference. I mean, that's unbelievable.
It really is, and I think it's just a testament to what the SEC is week in, week out, and year in, year out. I mean, the number of players. Look at the draft. I mean, you broke a record this year with 64 draft picks. You had 94 guys in the combine. I mean, this is where there's great football. But to me, that's a testament to the high school football in the southeastern part of the United States, from Texas all the way over. And you look at the NFL, was it 60, 65% of your guys probably come from the southeastern part of the United States? And so everybody's got players.
How different was it when you were at let's say, LSU, where you were closer to Texas? And I know you guys kind of owned Louisiana, and then you certainly came into Texas. Now you're in Texas, and that's your hotbed. What is it like for you as a guy who has to, when you have to turn your attention to recruiting, to have this big state, and then you can creep over into Louisiana? Talk about your philosophy there.
Well, I think you always got to go inside out, and when you have a home base like you do here, and I think you have great evaluation, and what I think is we establish ourselves as one of the top teams in the country, I think Texas kids realize they don't have to leave because there's still a lot of guys in this state that leave the state, that's our world today. Kids are going everywhere. The ability to travel, communicate, be around has changed recruiting so much. They're all home. The old days, if a guy went out of his state or went, he may go to the next state. Very few guys back in the day went two and three and four states over. It just, you didn't have the travel. It was hard to do. It's a different world. But we have to establish because this state has so many great high school football players, and it's coached so well. And I think we're doing that. But we have to brand ourselves. Listen, the teams that you look at every school, I mean, all the southeastern schools, the Kegels are on top. You got to brand yourself nationally to be able to go, as I say, cherry pick or steal those 3 to 5, 6, 7 guys maybe nationally that are just prominent guys that want to come. And when you come to A&M, and I say this, I mean, they say it's a recruiting ploy, but The culture of this place is phenomenal. The education here is second to none. You have facilities and a commitment from your administration and the people here of winning that when they get here, people say, wow. And then that Aggie Network, when you're talking about done in life
that's
after ball,
it
really is. And when people see it and get it from out of state, it's really amazing because I think the national branding will help us. But it's still, we are still going to work inside out because this is still the best state in the nation.
Well, and it just came out with a list of the most profitable college football programs, and A&M's number one.
Exactly.
So, I mean, how much – nothing against what Florida State, anything else, or what anybody else does, but how nice is that for the head coach?
Well, it is. And, I mean, and not just resources for us to do things, which is facilities and that, but programs you put in place that people don't even see that help develop our kids and put them in position to be successful. Because as we all know, I mean, the different skills you have to have in life and the people to expose guys to things, you can put those in place here and have things for these guys for life after ball and understanding why you do things the way we do them now. And this is how it's going to help you afterwards. And then you have the network of people afterwards who can help these guys with jobs and the things they got to do in their careers.
Yeah, you said something that I hadn't really thought of as much as I probably should have, and that's the infrastructure of Texas high school football. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting coaching. When they get to you, there's a greater chance a freshman will technically have enough going on that they can maybe step in and help.
No doubt. But the number of coaches, the quality of coaching, and also the commitment to the program. Where they understand the year-round grind, how much you lift, how much you meet, how
right.
much. Because in Texas high school football, you have the resources at most places and the facilities and the number of staff to be able to have those meetings, which puts them more in a college-like infrastructure. So when they come, the adaptation time isn't as great.
Right. Yep.
Jimbo Fisher. Well, your coaches won't be happy, but we're going to let you go.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you. 7:15 every Tuesday. We're going to talk A&M football right here on your home for Texas A&M football, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate it. Thanks for how much you helped us last year, and we're looking forward to this year.
Enjoy the relationship, guys.
All right, Texas A&M right here on ESPN 97.5. Time to talk a little Gulf Coast.
Let's talk about the vehicles. For example, I'm driving the Chevy Silverado pickup right now. It's fantastic. Right now I own the Chevy Traverse. My wife's got a Traverse for her new vehicle. I mean, I can sit and talk about Chevy if you want. As a matter of fact, Chevy's having the great big, and my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC are having the big special. They just want you to come test drive a Chevy, as a matter of fact. It's called the Chevy Open House, and let me tell you what this is. The Chevy Open House is going on now through August 31st at Gulf Coast Chevy in Angleton. You test drive a new Chevy, and you're going to win a free prize. It's going to be a $25 gift card, an All-Star Cinch bag, or pro baseball tickets. So you're going to get one of the three, $25 gift card, All-Star Cinch bag, or pro baseball tickets. You're also going to be entered to win an on-field meet-and-greet with baseball player Carlos Correa before a game at some point. So make sure that you go out there and check it out. You're going to get the best deals that you're going to find. Right now they've got some deep discounts going on for you, and it's not just for Chevy. They also have some great deals going on and some great prices going on for vehicles like the GMC Acadia, like the Tahoe. Maybe you are looking for the GMC Sierra pickup truck, or maybe you're looking at the Buick Regal because you're looking for a car and you want something that really pops from a sedan standpoint. Those are all available right there in Angleton. And the best part about Angleton is that it may take you a few extra minutes to drive, but you're going to save a few extra $1,000 at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Just go to LanceZCars.com.
Hey, time to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my man, Jeff Aronoff. And boy, you want to talk? He could have put this whole place together. It's all marble. It's all granite. It's just beautiful. This is the kind of thing that Jeff Aronoff does. Look at that countertop. You see it, Raheel? That would be, it's almost perfect. That's the kind of stuff Jeff Aronoff does. If you're looking for a guy that's going to come and make it look awesome, and he's doing this at U of H. He really is. And if you're looking for somebody that is going to take care of that business for you, make your stuff look new, look beautiful, the latest in technology, the latest countertop, it's awesome. I need you to call Jeff Aronoff and stop with your horrible looking whatever it is, your outdoor patio, your kitchen and your kitchen countertops, or at your business. I mean, this is what people see. This is the first impression. And when they come in, they go, wow, this place is really, really nice. This must be a great, great place, and I want to do business here. It's all at 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.